Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is the last show of Season 1, Episode 55. This show is a recap of Season 1. I'll feature the voices from the past shows, all jumbled together. The people come from all across the province of Newfoundland Labrador, and there are voices from Iceland as well. But here's how it all began, back in Show Number 1. Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is the show where we hear from farmers, processors, chefs, hunters, and thinkers. We'll be talking about food, which is almost as good as eating it. Certainly over time, I think that the introductions changed, and I clearly talk faster these days, and I edit the shows more tightly than I did at the beginning. I'm not sure if that's all a good thing or not. Today, we can't get into any specific topic deeply, but it's fun to hear the voices of the 75 people who were interviewed on these 54 shows. Pull up a chair. Join us.
I often think about what inspired me to become a farmer. 4-H.
Yeah, right from elementary school on up through, I knew I was going to be a farmer. Lots of choices, but no, this was my passion, it's my life.
My dad was down at Tim Hortons, and one of the guys cornered on him, and like, so you're going to have local beer? He's like, we're making it on site, you can't get much more local than that. He said, no, local beer, like Coors Light and Bud Light.
So what is it about dairy that you like?
Just everything. Everything's fascinating about it.
And it's exciting to be part of that innovative market garden concept that's out there, small-scale, intensive, organic, right?
The moment we got here, I stepped out of the car, it was August, and I felt like I was home.
I think people meeting and socializing over meals is what really is valuable in terms of society.
When I was in high school, I actually hated farming.
You just don't start farming in Labrador, you have to apply to get land, so that takes a couple years.
Yeah, we think food is about food. But it's actually not. What it's really about is community.
Land use and facilitation is one of the biggest missing components that we see, and it's largely the piece that we have to get solved in agriculture.
You know, simply just sitting down in front of the beehive and watching them coming and going is extremely relaxing.
If you want to have an appropriate and localized agricultural infrastructure around communities or concentrations of populations, you need to have people living on their farms. Has to happen. Yeah.
What I think is so interesting now is to learn about how the health of the soil impacts the food that we grow. It's a very encouraging thing. If we can learn about how to improve the soil, then nature does it. We can produce food. So it's a note of optimism.
It was ingrained in my family and ingrained in my culture that and the heritage that feeding yourself is a very noble thing to be doing.
I guess I started off thinking of this as self-sufficiency, and through, I guess, the rise of the homesteading group, which I didn't expect, I guess I've come to realize that it's mutual self-sufficiency and that we're all in the same big lifeboat.
When we decided to go farming, I mean, the greenhouse went up on the deck. Yeah. We took down the gazebo and the patio chairs. I think at one point I said, are we ever going to get a patio table back? And he goes, we'll never have time to sit at it.
We're the only spot in pretty much Canada now still making new agriculture land.
I'm competing with the guy from Peru to sell raspberries. Doesn't make sense, hardly. I wish him luck, though, because we got better raspberries.
Because I started off as a young farmer. I'm going to retire before I get some land.
And I can remember coming home after 2.5 years of university, and I sat down to the table, and I said to my mother, I said, this is not for me. You know, I was born a farmer, I will be a farmer, and here I am today, still a farmer.
We were, you know, raised on Cracker Barrel, Cheese Whiz, and Kraft Singles.
It all comes down to having good soil to start with. After that, then, everything else is sort of gravy.
The first greenhouse was built in 1923 and it was made for growing tomatoes and cucumbers. And they say it took many years to teach Iceland to eat tomatoes and cucumbers because they haven't seen it before. It was something which was not imported.
We literally have this incredible economy that's right in front of us, food that we're just kind of tiptoeing around.
It's this idea of moving women from the flake to the floor to the boat and hopefully to the corporate room. So, you know, how do you start that?
It's never been an issue of can Labrador soils produce food. You can take that off the table. That's not even a discussion point. It's about how farmers have to operate because of the geographical challenges and because of the networking challenges and because of the infrastructure challenges.
If I had a dollar for every time a tourist asked me, where can I buy something green? And I'd be like, well, you kind of passed it about 45 minutes ago.
The way people will survive in the world is the way that they always have. have agriculture that supports a civic community and civic community that supports rural infrastructure.
My cows, they are spoiled. I mean, they are like princes.
We have a lot of waves of vegetarians or vegans and people that don't understand farming, and they don't understand the respect that you're showing the animals on the end when you use their product, if it's meat or if it's milk.
I actually really love to work with animals. Yeah. It is relaxing. It's much more difficult to deal with difficult customers.
Didn't think I'd ever go close to agriculture. My big plan was that I wanted to go to Wall Street or Bay Street, and I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, and I was trading in my coveralls for a power suit, and that was going to be that.
If you took someone from 2008 St. John's and dropped them in 2018 St. John's, they'd be absolutely shocked at the development of awareness around food and local production.
It's another place where people can get together. There's a purpose. You come here for a purpose, but while you're here, you're going to meet people, you're going to sit down and have a chat, and it's a nice sort of mixing place.
Look, we're all learning to crawl here. We're trying to relearn how to provide for ourselves.
We tell everyone we grow everything that you can grow in Newfoundland, plus a little more.
Where can you find a merge between what we can produce and then what the consumer wants?
And I'm really super impressed with the young farmers that we saw, because like they're smart, they're educated.
In some cases anyway, these guys are changing the face of farming.
To quit a full-time job and go into farming in Labrador, you'd either have to be more brave than I or more foolish than I would think.
If you open a convenience store, two houses down the road, they'll whack up another convenience store just because they had the same idea and nobody survives.
Yeah. So this is probably my third career. So I'm an old young farmer at this point.
Personally, I find it just looks really good on small local businesses supporting other local farmers and fishermen, really kind of keeping our money where it belongs here. Right?
And there's no easy things in the kitchen. That's where you mess up.
The one most important thing that this province needs to do is to effectively harvest, utilize, and legislatively protect the resources from the fish plants that are now being thrown in the ocean.
Personally, I think the only way rural Newfoundland is going to survive is if we have immigrants come in.
In the classroom, I would ask the students, what was your job back in Syria? Or what was your job in Bhutan? And it was farmer. Mm.
The very fact we eat requires a sacrifice. Yeah. Something has to die to feed us. Yeah. I don't care if you're vegetarian or whatever.
I mean, what's more important than actually being able to feed yourself or your family or your community, right?
We are a fast food economy. But we're expecting then the same level of fast food delivery from our local foods. Yes.
But it's also rewarding for us to know that we are feeding people in our community. Yeah.
Food production is at the core of everything. Any country which is short of food is in a very weak position.
One of the trademark bits of the show was to ask guests for a musical choice, just to add a more fulsome picture of them and for interest. Talking is great, but our attention spans aren't what they used to be. Let's just admit that. Here's a little montage of some of those music requests.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a...
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy.
There's lots of, I guess, farmer songs, but like maybe Hotel California.
Hotel California, right.
You get into it and you just can't get out.
And you can't get out.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Sonny lives on a farm, on a wide open space. You could take off your shoes.
You plant your fields when the spring is tender.
In cutting and hauling and frosting and snow, we're up against troubles that few people know. It's only by courage and patience and grit.
Have you heard the story of the mobile goat on the grand old southern shore?
Do you have a song that I should put under all of this? Something that you hum on the tractor?
Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Okay.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train, girl.
I'm honestly all over the place. Yeah. Depending on my mood, I'll be listening to Bach. Yeah. Or I'll be dancing away, listening to Beyonce or. Chili Peppers next. I do love a good local Newfoundland band. I try to listen to as much as Sherman Downey as I can.
Okay.
So Enya is just called The Memory of Trees.
Memory of Trees.
At least the title sounds like it should be appropriate.
There's a land of boundless beauty where the untamed rivers run and the just
come from the land of ice and snow, from the midnight sun where the hot springs blow.
I think I would say of Monsters and Men. Their guitar player is a good friend of mine. He enjoys my stays. He comes here once a month.
Hey, them calling in the distance. So I packed my things and ran.
There's an Old Man Lyrica song about having a big group breakfast.
Was a big group breakfast like so many others. Had our eggs and we got each other.
I like Norah Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me in the night.
My favorite band is Dawes. Yeah, and they've got a new album out.
I used to play on the river. Like moonlight on the lops.
So, Ivan, why did you include Iceland in this show? That's a fair question. I do think that we need to find relevant comparisons to study. I'm not suggesting that we simply wholly reproduce what is happening somewhere else, but we can learn from them, choose wisely, and move the dial forward. And we share many elements with Iceland. Sometimes it's hard to tell which place the people are talking about. So for the Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, what are you at? For the Icelanders, Guten Dag.
Farming is so unbelievably important, but it's so unbelievably undervalued, you know?
One of the fascinating things about working with people is that you sometimes do get to see something click when you're showing them something, and all of a sudden the world is different from their point of view.
Even though the agriculture is small, it's very significant for the life outside the capital area and also for the culture of the nation, because there are our roots.
I know we talk at workshops with people from other provinces, and they are amazed at the kind of help and support we are getting here.
Yeah. Fortunately, you know, from when I initially moved here 8 years ago to now, the mindset on agriculture has changed significantly. Mm. The consumer is now saying, guys, you know, we really don't need lettuce coming from off island at this point. I count calories, but when I eat country food, I don't count them.
We've got a surplus of milk in Newfoundland. We're shipping a lot of it off island to be processed. I don't know why we're not making the butter here. I don't know why we're not making more cheese here or yogurt.
There's an incredible resiliency in Newfoundland and Labrador.
You can grow almost any kind of everyday food and sell it here in Labrador.
I think municipalities right across this province need to really step back and look what they're doing and when it comes to their development regulations.
Should things warm up or should things become any more moderate, it'll be harder and harder for those native species to survive.
Having an island environment can be an advantage because you can kind of have that restriction from pests and diseases coming in.
A lot of gardeners, farmers, from what I know, they always seem to work against nature.
Just because something's edible doesn't mean it's flavorful, of course.
When you're aware of the input of food
one, you don't waste it.
Yeah.
And B, you consume in proportionality. So I find that when I produce my own food, I eat less meat because you have to kill something to get meat, and that matters. Yeah. And I suppose before in my old life, it didn't matter. I make more impactful decisions and more sustainable decisions because I am the one that has to get my hands dirty.
If you're going to be a leader, I'd rather have a team crossing the finish line than just be me by myself, because it's pretty lonely up there being a winner by yourself.
People have a storybook image of what life was like in Newfoundland, and they have this romantic remembrance of the eggs and the cows and the horses running free and the vegetables in the field.
Well, I used to say, everything in my garden grows despite what I do.
It's so ridiculous to be traveling across the world with all this food, which we can easily make in our own countries.
For so long, the North has always had people come tell us what to do, sure. Come tell us what we should be doing, and, you know, things will be better if you do this.
And when I was at the ripe age of 19, the vegetable farmers wanted to have a meeting to discuss something. We had either the Legion or the Lions Club. There would be at least 30, 35 farmers.
Now it can happen in a kitchen.
Or you could do it in the cab of a pickup truck.
But to me, the good old days are now.
When I go into a grocery store and I walk along the vegetable counters and I go U.S., Mexico, Ontario, PEI, New Brunswick, Chile, New Zealand, it's pretty depressing.
There's that vibe here that you could show up to buy your pickles or whatever, and you're probably going to meet somebody, and you're going to have a chat, and you might waste an hour or so getting to know somebody.
We've lost our connection with the experience of food.
I think today the public is maybe more aware. They're watching what everyone is doing, so it's important that we do things well so that we don't have to be ashamed of anything that we are doing.
As soon as anyone knows you got chickens, they ask right away, do you sell eggs?
Once the soil is established, there's very little work to do. I never water my garden. I don't go around. I haven't watered this. Nature does it.
It's tough to get into business. It's a huge financial cost to buy a farm.
Mistakes are great. It teaches you what it is not to do next time.
I think it's also really important just to see how other people are doing things. Well, maybe your parents are not doing things the easiest way.
You can't learn from anything if you don't make mistakes.
Right.
It's no way you're perfect.
We've got about 25 acres cleared here, and it's level. It's smoother than Yarmouth Airport. And we've got all the rocks picked, all 2 wheelbarrow full. We're doing all right here.
The great thing about farming is you get a retry. Yeah. Things didn't work out for you in your previous year. You get to do it all over again, so you get to improve.
But when you see kids getting so excited about growing broccoli, tomatoes, and kale and lettuce, like, that's so exciting.
Food is comfort for a lot of people and is reminiscent of old times. So it is a bit like trying to turn a big ship to try to get people to eat more plant-based food.
If we'd have spent half as much energy doing work on the partridge berries than we did with the cranberries, we'd be a lot further off.
Now what we're starting to see a little bit is this whole idea of edible landscapes. People that are combining both vegetable growing and horticulture and trying to mesh the two together.
The people who are interested in quality living appreciate the arts, appreciate good food, appreciate community.
I would like to have a farm registry program, and any money that you get is connected to your ability to play ball with the other farmers.
I would like to see more smaller farms like ours. They're much easier to set up. Once you sort of have your land base, then your biggest problem next is the weather.
You want to take agriculture serious? Give it a sole department, a minister of agriculture, and a department that's focused on that. Then you'll have positive outcomes.
Everything's possible as long as the residents, the customers, they support more farmers. But if the local residents, they prefer Costco, there's nothing to do.
I think we need to be really careful about the ultra-processed plant-based fake meat alternatives that are getting a lot of attention.
It's not just about how to produce. That's technically easy. It's like, who's going to buy, when, and how.
My path here has been a journey of terrible mistakes and wonderful discoveries.
But I almost think that when you're starting a business in Newfoundland, everybody should almost have a caseworker, almost like a driver, to say, you know what, we got to get this guy open, we got to get him open, let's help pave the way.
And I'm using one glass of penicillin. My colleague in Spain is using 60.
So you're using 1/60th of what
And this is the guy that I have to compete with.
Here I am, farming the government's land, feeding the government's people.
Listen to the farmers while there's still a few left.
If you go in it pursuing money, forget it. This is not where you go to make money, but this is where you can go to have a life.
Labrador, we're not even supplying 1% of our dietary needs. So you're going to double that? Wow. You know, we should have our own food here year round.
We actually educate too few to be able to kind of take over and renew all the people in the industry within a few years. It's not just about farming and gardening either. It's about what's available in the wild. And we're so lucky here to have that privilege that that is still accessible.
The students in the agriculture university, they move against the current. The others just flow with the current.
A northern policy on agriculture, I think, is needed because there are unique problems here.
That we have to do. I think a lot of children, wherever in the world, don't know where the milk comes from.
Yeah.
They don't know where the meat come from. That's a problem.
Most people in Newfoundland are conservationists.
Yeah.
They live with the environment, but they understand you have to use it.
Many people remember collecting dandelion greens for cooking in the spring, probably before any greens were actually available in the garden. And that sort of spring feed of dandelions, I think, is something that people of a certain age remember.
What you can grow is, you know, not the hard part. The hard part is actually finding a market or people who want to consume what you want to grow.
We can be as rich anywhere in this province as you can be anywhere in Alberta.
When you inspire the kids, they go home and they're inspiring their parents to want to know where it's coming from.
Kelp is a very highly valued commodity on the world market, all over the world, especially in clean environments like here in Newfoundland.
Food is health and food is medicine by association, but agriculture has to be health too.
Look at our ancestors. I mean, they came here and they all had farms. They all grew their own food and they didn't rely on someone bringing it in. We've done it for 500 years.
Often, you know, people are doing a lot of interesting research and nobody knows about it.
I think if you go away from mixed farming generally, then you will be going away from family farming and then you will be weakening the rural structure.
Mom would make brawn, which is basically you take the head of the moose and you skin it and then you boil it down and you take all the meat and stuff from that and you make, it's like sandwich meat.
Head cheese.
Head cheese, exactly.
Yeah. Newfoundland and Labrador is rich with culture and rich with tradition and so much of that culture and that tradition is connected to food in some way.
Iceland is always like to know if they meet someone, if he is related to them. They often ask, where do you come from? Who are your people? We do it still.
I have completely and totally today, I can tell you, I've found myself in agriculture.
It gives agency back to people that you can participate in the food system in a meaningful way simply by going out and picking some berries or starting a small garden.
Guilt isn't a productive emotion.
When we were a big family, we had a meal that was put on the table. You ate it, and when it was gone, you said, now, I wonder, did I like this?
Generally, people don't know what organic really means.
Well, I would love to see environmental activists saying, we need to eat more mussels.
Here are a few more of those musical suggestions from the season.
Well, my favorite artist, her name is Emiliana Torrini. I think I would definitely play her to my cows and they would milk a lot more.
Friends tell me it's spring. My window shows.
I'm a big fan of Sherman Downey. I remember while we were doing construction here, I found out that he was next door. I took over a bag of cookies. I said, oh my God, I'm such a fan.
I love music. I'm a big Tragically Hip fan. Weed Kinks.
Sundown in the Paris of the prairie.
Do you know Edward Grieg? It starts very smoothly. La 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 la.
Here by myself in the quiet, my favorite song to listen to is actually the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche.
My favorite music is heavy metal.
Well, we'll go for that. That's okay. Is there an Icelandic heavy metal band?
Yes.
You're a musician.
I have
been in the past. Well-known band here.
Yeah, you've seen us play a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We're no longer, but Fish and Rum would be a good song from there.
One step forward, two step back. Doing all I can just to stay on track. The boat won't float.
During the season, one of the enduring questions I asked was about favorite local foods. After all, the show was about food and local production, so it seemed like an obvious thing to ask. Here's some of the responses.
I love the herbs that we grow.
Moose heart.
How is it prepared?
Stuffed and roasted.
My husband's pulled pork.
made from our own farm fresh pork.
You know, there's nothing like a good Jigs dinner on a Sunday evening.
If we have people on this around this table, generally speaking, we'll do something with moose.
First of all, should I say, I eat everything.
Newly caught hot dog with potatoes and butter. I'm a fisherman's daughter, and this is the best thing I have.
If I can get it, locally grown lamb.
Honey, I would say. Our bees get it's a great product, and I eat honey every day.
I love food that grows it's just here. It's part of the place.
Oh my God, there's so many, but I think it's going to be my wife's cucumbers. Yeah.
Baked apples and char and pitsik. Pitsik is like salmon or trout, doesn't matter, but it's dried, and it's almost like candy.
I do have to say I love kale because of how well it handles being blanched and then frozen, and then it can be kept in my freezer all year.
Probably Five Brothers Jesus. That's what I consume the most locally.
I love lamb meat, of course, but it's really hard to choose because I also love a beef steak and also the horse steak. Did you try that?
Well, I haven't acquired a taste for rabbit yet. I had a friend who gave me a rabbit in a jar and I just can't bring myself to open it. But, you know, I really like moose and that was something I hadn't tried before I moved here. And we had venison the other night and any kind of fish.
Yeah. I love turnip, and I just love the taste of turnip.
People are coming trying to break crab out of a shell, and from what you're getting out of it, you see them and they're cutting down, and there's juice squirting up in their face and on the wall. And you say, for what?
I love so many local foods. If anyone knows me, they know I just love food generally.
Right. I would have to say that some of my favorite foods here are, like, greens here, I find are incredible. Carrots are incredible. Things grow better here.
Ghee is a fantastic product. I probably eat it almost every day.
Rice cooked in milk and with cinnamon sugar. And then you have a cold slice of haggish on the side. That's soul food for me.
Reading off a list of names can be a powerful thing. Some of these you may recognize, despite my pronunciation. Names are little markers of identity. They smuggle in a bit of the soul of the person. Here are the guests who made the shows this season worth listening to. Elvis Gillum, Krista Reed Chapman, Brian Kowalski, Evan Murray, Terry Lynn Robbins, Chris Oram, Jim Purdy, Chris Adams, Todd Perrin, Paul Dinn, Brian Yeager, Jane Yeager, Nathan Dennis, Melvin Rideout, Mervyn Wiseman, Lisa McBride, Steve McBride, Laurie Haycock, Boyd Maynard, Jim Lester, Adam Blanchard, Torin Inge Peterson, Todd Boland, Knutur Arman, Kimberly Oren, Des Sellers, Ron Watts, James Grace, Olaf Hogrimsdottir, Solvi Arnarsson, Emily Bland, Joshua Smee, Sheila O'Leary, Craig Pollitt, Anna Sigurd Dear Peter's daughter, Holly Christensen Petty, Bernard Bird, Chris Swires, Debbie Swires, Rebecca Bruchette, Ian Stone, Rodney Reed, David Vatcher, Ole Einerson, Dan Rubin, Charlie Dunn, Philip Thornley, Sarah Thompson, Sean Dolter, Joyce Pye, Anne Marceau, Michael Brzezinski, Jamie Jackman, Christy Jameson, Leanne Wilson, Hans Stefan Lindner, Greg Wood, Mervyn Dean, Olaf Oshk Goodman's daughter, Ehil Gunnarsson, Rosa Bjork Jon's daughter, Kelly Mansell, Stellman Flynn, Tom Rose, Danilo Gonzalez, Robert Sutton, Ingvi Stephenson, Edward Mesher, Tom Angiers, Katie Temple, Vivel Carlson, Jason Bull, Mark Wilson, Hafborfin Boggesen, Olafur Dirmansen. The show was a journey made far easier by the kindness and generosity of the folks I visited. They all gave up their time freely.
You're more than welcome.
Alrighty, you're welcome.
You're welcome. That's
great. Thanks for coming to visit, and please come back again sometime.
Wonderful to talk about the joys of growing your own food.
Well, it's my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you. It's great.
Thank you. It's always nice to go through the history.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Aaron. Yeah. Oh, no, Smith.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
No. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Glad to be a part of it.
Thank you. Yeah. Love to chat more.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
This is wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Man, I appreciate you coming and talking. It's good. Good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah.
Of course. You're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate you guys visiting me. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. It was great talking to you.
All the best.
Yes, you too.
Thank you very much. And to your listening audience, if they ever want to come visit Stephenville, I'd love to welcome them.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
No problem. No problem. Good luck with saving rural Iceland.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
See you again.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice talking to you. I hope it makes some sense.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland, Labrador, and sometimes Iceland farm and food show. And so endeth season one. I do hope that there will be a season two. I'm working on it, but there are some challenges. Well, they're all financial, truth be told, but that isn't your problem. All of the episodes from this season are available free on the internet to listen to at any time of day or night in any time zone. To listen or for more information, including how to get in touch with me, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, has been performed by over 50 different artists during the season. This week, it was one of my favorites, the Barcelona Bluegrass Band. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Thanks for listening. Take care of each other. Happy trails.
I'm glad you could do this. Yeah, we need all the PR we can get.
You want a cup of coffee?
Do you want more coffee?
Just a little bit. That'd be great. No. Is that any good?